The Reserve Pool, Episode 27, Villains Then and Now. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Reserve Pool, a podcast about Dice Masters and all the people who love to play it. This is Dave here.
And I'm Evan. Katie was eaten by monsters. Not the WoW kind. She doesn't play WoW anymore.
No, but you and I are playing a little bit.
What?
You and I are playing a little bit, though.
Yes. maybe a little, a little bit might be a bit of an understatement for me, but... good fun. Yes.
Absolutely. So for those of you who are not MMO players or not WoW players, a new expansion just dropped, and... as I mentioned on a recent episode, I got back into WoW because I was enticed by it, and so far, good decision. I'm really happy.
You think you pull yourself out, but they draw you back in.
Hey, it was like 4 years.
Yeah, that is a long... You had your four-year chip?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even claim to... I think the longest I quit was like 6 months, so... And that was really just not because I didn't like it, but because it was the end of an expansion. There was just nothing to do for 6 months.
Oh, for me, it was I didn't like it. Cataclysm just really fell flat with me. And then I heard about Pandaria and thought, you're going to base an entire expansion around the race that you made an April Fool's joke in Warcraft 3. Really?
I didn't think they were an April Fool's joke.
They were an April Fool's joke.
The artist liked them a lot.
Look back at it. They started off life kind of as an April Fool's joke. Huh. There are some people who really like it who are going to be mad at me for saying those sorts of things, because I know, because I've had these conversations on the internet before. But I will say that what I did play of Mist of Pandaria, I actually really, really liked. So I take it all back. I rescind. No problems. But I am loving the start that this new expansion is off to. And I wonder, why can't we see some World of Warcraft Dice Masters?
Don't give them ideas. They'll be... Oh, man, that'll be some sort of horrible collectible singularity. I imagine it would actually be because I know in the past they were associated with Upper Deck. I'm not really sure what they're doing nowadays.
They were with Fantasy Flight for a while, too, for their board games. Like, the old WoW World of Warcraft board game was Fantasy Flight. They pooled the IP and sent it over to... I don't remember where, and now we have such amazing World of Warcraft properties as WoWopoly and WoW and, Risk.
And WoW Trivial Pursuit.
Yes.
Yes, but they had a miniatures game for a while, which was actually pretty fun. And the card game, of course.
But
they're phasing that out for their digital one, I think. So,
well, of course, it's been phased out for a while, but I don't know.
Well, no, for Hearthstone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They've been phasing out the card game has been phased out for some time, and yeah, obviously Hearthstone is their thing.
Yeah.
Yes, but
anyway, this is not a WoW podcast. Thankfully.
No, but if I'm talking about how cool it would be for there to be a WoW Dice Masters, I think that segues very well into our contest.
Indeed. The contest for has actually ended for a while ago, where we apologize for various shenanigans pushing off our announcement of the winners, but that's the time we're going to announce our winners. Just to remind everyone, the theme was for people to talk about what Marvel or whichever company event would best work for an upcoming expansion. And we got quite a few responses, which was good because we had quite a few prizes. We had three tiers. We had three tiers of reward. The first being just the basic action for the month, teleport, a pretty nice one this time. We had a mid-tier rank, the first runner-up prize, which was a copy of Teleport, a copy of Rally, and a copy of Teamwork. And we had a grand prize, which was the same, those three basic actions, Teleport, Teamwork, and Rally, plus a copy of Colossus Phoenix Force.
Yep.
And I'd just like to thank Ray Anderson again, who got us a bunch of Basic Action copies so we could actually provide the expanded prizes this time, as the ones I'm able to get a hold of basically let us do a few Basic Actions, and that's it.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, we have so many people out there who are have sent emails, hey, I have an extra one of these, or I want another OP event, or whatever else, or I just don't want this card. How about a prize? And that's pretty great. We really appreciate that, because that helps us give back to the community. You giving that to us helps us give back to the community. And I mean, just thank you so much. That's really, really, really very kind of you.
Right, yeah. Thank you very much for everybody who's looking to contribute.
Yes. But to kick this off, we kind of have an entry in the contest mailbag, don't we?
Our first one is from is once again from someone who just wanted to be heard, so they gave us a bunch of ideas. We actually, I think, heard from him last time, Michael Charlton. Mm-hmm. He mentions that he has a whole bunch of sets that he really likes, and he has a hard time just ranking my number. I'll just read them off. He liked Age of Apocalypse, Separation Anxiety, Infinity War, Onslaught. What am I, Homestar Runner? And the Marvel Civil War.
I'm going to start calling you Coach Z.
Oh my.
You did a great job there, Evan.
Yep. And so he sees like a lot of potential for abilities like Age of Apocalypse, a lot of characters going villain, and I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Separation Anxiety, just lots. He actually mentioned maybe a Symbiote Team Affinity, which could be sort of cool.
Yeah, that would be nifty. Yeah. Symbiote Spider-Man and stuff. And obviously it's Maximum Carnage related, so I'm in.
Yeah. Infinity War, he talks about the idea of like the Infinity Stones being something like a basic action that comes to the table, and either player can grab that and you can actually steal it from the other player. Having all of them lets you win just right there, like an a bonus victory condition.
Wow.
Onslaught, he mentions partially because there's no excuse to leave Sue Storm out. Katie can't, unfortunately. Katie isn't here to like clap her hands about that, but he could also see it as a co-op variant where players are trying to defeat Onslaught together as opposed to fight each other, sort of like the raid decks for WoW.
Okay.
And here we go talking about WoW again. And then Marvel Civil War. There's a lot of reasons for characters to fight. Makes a lot of sense. Sort of would make sub-factions pro and anti-registration, but... He talks about that could maybe be a team building mechanic. I don't want to talk too much about it because spoilers to Captain America 3. But
well, I get the idea that the Marvel Civil War is a bit of a divisive arc among some fans. Is that the case?
That is sort of my impression. I know KD is not a huge fan of it, and I actually very recently read the entirety of it, including all the tie-ins, because I'm mad, and. I could definitely see that. There's definitely a few... It makes a lot of the major characters in it look really bad. Specifically Captain America and Iron Man. It makes them just look like kind of jerks.
Yeah, I mean, I know... What I know of the storyline is from playing through Ultimate Alliance 2.
Right, I heard that was Civil War related.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's also a great game. If you want some just fun comic book action, like kind of... RPG-ish sort of thing. You can play it with, you know, four of your friends, whatever else. Those X-Men Legends games, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, absolutely recommend those. But yeah, that used the Marvel Civil War as a storyline. This is these are a lot of great ideas. A lot of them are going to be movies, so I would imagine that some of this we will see, because as you said, Evan, WizKids loves their movie tie-ins.
Right.
So.
And yeah, I mean, I have a hard time seeing them not doing an Infinity War thing in a few years.
Yeah. Well, I think
sooner.
Yeah. I think they've done a couple of these too in HeroClix to this point. And I know that they did or have done Avengers versus X-Men in HeroClix as well. So, I mean, I think we'll see some mirrored events. So that makes me think we'd see like Fear Itself and some other things at some point too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, the reason that we let Michael, have such a long thing there is because he didn't want to win. So we'll give him that time for being selfless. But yes. Everybody else, much shorter entries anyway. So let's get to it. Our first runner up here, who will, the runners up again will be getting teleport, is Jason Erb. And he would love to see Age of Apocalypse of as an expansion because it changed so many characters. An evil beast, Space Gambit, Blink, one-armed Wolverine, plus it's an upcoming movie, so might as well ride on the coattails. Yeah, very good entry there, Jason. I agree, and I think we're going to see, you know, as with Michael, Age of Apocalypse yet again.
Now I can't think of anything but Gambit in space.
I like it.
Yep. Yeah. So now I would not be surprised if we saw Age of Apocalypse, as X-Men is one of the main factions, and there's a movie coming up and everything. So,
yep.
And more Apocalypse and more villains. I'm happy as a pig in something.
You mean cat wearing headphones?
Cat wearing headphones, yes. Bob Ross. Bob Ross's villain faction. Indeed. Evil little trees. anyway, our next runner up is Tom Allen. He says that he's not really a comics fan. He only knows the characters that in movies and games, so he doesn't really have an expansion. But he would love to see a Star Wars-related one, which I think Fantasy Flight Games is the one that's currently doing a lot of stuff with the Star Wars license. So yes. I'm not sure if we'll see that, though I'm eagerly anticipating Imperial Assault.
Yeah.
But he would love to see this, like, you know, have a team that has Darth Vader and Captain America versus Wolverine and Blue Eyes White Dragon, which...
Well, that'd be something. Yeah. Wow. I don't even know how to fathom that.
And no love for the Marvel Dice Masters, you know, no Dracoliches or whatever it is they're going to be.
The D&D, like, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Well, maybe, like, Drizzt will just come in and, like, kill them all with his double scimitars. No, this would be cool, but yeah, as you said, Evan, unfortunately, Fantasy Flight has the license for Star Wars games, and that's probably not going to change anytime soon, given the success they've had with X-Wing and everything else. Generally, WizKids has access to a lot of IPs thanks to Clicks, and I think that any additional ones...
They work with Wizards of the Coast a lot.
Exactly, and that's a more recent development, too. Any other stuff is going to come from their relationship with WotC, rather than who actually had the Star Wars license once, I believe... And lost it. I could be wrong there. Yes, okay. So it's those IPs. Some of their IPs they only are allowed to use if they do something Clicks related with it, which is why you see them working Clicks into a lot of their non-Clicks games, which I thought was interesting. But so I think that means we might see Star Trek Dice Masters, which would be pretty cool if you had like a starship to use as an identity, like that powered up certain things like an identity in Netrunner. I don't know. I'm just kind of geeking out here because I would love to have like Captain Picard on my Dice Masters team, but
Captain
nonetheless,
America versus Captain Picard fight.
Captain Picard wins. Let's be honest here. It's Captain Picard.
Not really being a Star Trek person. I'm a terrible nerd. Sorry.
That's okay.
I can't really say, but
he'll beat him and then he'll drink tea in his quarters. Earl Grey, hot. All right. our next runner up, and I'm having trouble scrolling here. It's our buddy Horatio. He would love to see a Muir Island Saga set. Great story in the middle of a classic period of the X-Men books. It's when the original X-Men...
X-Factor.
Our X-Factor team rejoined the X-Men and the Freedom Force. Wow, yeah, this is actually a kind of a really good idea. He gets really detailed here with starter set ideas and other things like that. More Nick Fury-type options like Val Cooper or Moira Rictaggart. That's really cool. Muir Island Saga is definitely a good event. I think they should do it. The problem is in the more recent kind of like zeitgeist of superhero things, Muir Island was kind of like combined with seven other plot ideas and used in the horrible X-Men 3. Which was Muir Island plus, what, Dark Phoenix plus seven or eight other things. And,
I think I've mostly blocked out that movie.
I don't blame you, but yeah, Muir Island would be great. It was a cool event. I remember it most fondly from the very excellent early 90s X-Men cartoon.
Yes, mostly. I'm for anything that involves getting Jubilee, and actually Forge is pretty cool. So,
Okay.
Okay. Next up, we have Justin McAdams, who thanks us for all the contests and notes that when he heard Dave mention Maximum Carnage, he was really happy about that. and it's what got him into Spider-Man and comics in general. He'd like to see it as a set, and he was sad that Venom from AVX wasn't really that great. And I might disagree with that a little, because I definitely found some uses for him. He would like to see Carnage and Cloak and Dagger.
Yep.
Cloak and Dagger are pretty cool. They've shown up in a few comics I like. So.
No, I agree. I love to see the Sonic Gun as a basic action. Reed Richards Sonic Gun and some other things like that. Yeah, no, it'd be great. It would translate well into a set. He's absolutely right. And I have to agree with him on Venom. It wasn't that great. And I don't know why, but it seems like there are so many pop culture implementations of Venom that just, they keep screwing it up. Like, they screwed him up in Spider-Man 3. Like, everywhere that Venom has appeared in pop culture, he's just been wrong. He's not been as awesome as he's supposed to be. Like, hey, let's have Venom in this movie. Let's have this scrawny little dude play Eddie Brock.
I think maybe they're just going off of the Ultimates version, which, actually, that kind of makes sense to me, because that's, they actually seem to, Ultimates, I don't know if this is a chicken and the egg thing. I don't know if Ultimates inspired the original movies or the original movies inspired Ultimate. But they're a lot closer in their portrayal of Peter Parker, and their use of Venom in that was also, it was kind of a sort of lamer base Venom.
Interesting.
It's a good series if you actually want to check it out. But
I'm gonna have to. You have to remind me off air, because I will forget. All right, next up, we're actually into our
first runner-ups.
Okay, our first runner-ups. Very good. And this is, oops, I already clicked on it. Let me scroll over. Joe would love to see an Infinity expansion. Sorry, Joe, let me tell you what your last name is.
James.
I mean, you know,
Joe,
let me tell
James.
Everybody else. So our next one, our first runner-ups, perhaps?
Yes.
Is Joe James. Absolutely. He would really, really love to see an Infinity expansion. The art's amazing. It would open up some Guardians of the Galaxy heroes. He wants to blast his opponent away with a little raccoon, John Woo style. And he thanks us for the contest. Well, thank you for entering. Another vote for Infinity and a vote for some Guardians of the Galaxy representation, too. And I am all for both of those.
Much as I actually read through the Infinity event, because that's when I was reading comics monthly. And much as I was slightly ambivalent, I think we talked last episode, or maybe an episode before that, about some of the issues with the Infinity event. But anything that gets me Thane would be welcome. So,
cool.
Okay. Our next alpha runner-up was Jose Fernandez Ruiz, who greets us from Spain.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
Jose, international flavor here. I love it.
Yeah, no, tell me about it. When I sent out the prizes last time, it was three different countries. One of them, of course, being the United States. But, we've got a multinational following, which that blows me away every time I think about it.
We've had some folks from Poland ask us if it was okay to translate our articles. We've had some folks from, I want to say, Denmark and Sweden get in touch. It's really cool, the international flavor we've taken on.
Yep.
So
yeah. Anyway, Jose says that he loves all the comics drawn by Alan Davis, specifically Excalibur and the Multiverse crossover are the ones he liked. And he'd sort of like to see, all the Excalibur members and, the Captain America Deathlock mix. He'd also like to see the Inferno history and metamorphosis of all the members of X-Factor, X-Men, New Mutants, and the Goblin Queen. I'm actually not that familiar with either of those events, though I am somewhat familiar with Excalibur, and I do think it would be really cool to see a lot more of those guys.
Yeah.
Get us some Union Jack.
Can't say a whole lot about that, but I'm aware of Excalibur, but that's about it. So, yeah. Thank you for the entry.
Yep.
And our final alpha runner-up is...
No, there's one.
Oh, sorry, our second to last alpha runner-up, our penultimate alpha runner-up, is William Bradley, and he thanks us, as many have, and thank you. The Marvel event he would like to see made into a set is House of M. This has been his favorite event. He thinks it would allow for a different take on many characters. It's mutant-centric, but he says all the heroes are affected in one way or another. Scarlet Witch changes the entirety of the world into mutants. Heroes found themselves in very different positions. It would be an interesting chance to have heroes with different thematic abilities. That's kind of cool. The series had fantastic artwork, which is always a plus. He loves the comic so much that he had a member of BGG create a playmat for him with the cover of the first issue, which he ordered from Cow. So, obviously, yeah, you obviously really like that event. I know very little about it. I only wonder if different thematic abilities would confuse people who also don't know about the event. But I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's neat because it'll be like, I imagine it'd be a lot of characters who had one ability. I'm only somewhat familiar with the event. I'm more familiar with the aftermath of House of M than House of M itself. But, which I believe was the decimation, i.e., most of the mutants lost their powers.
I can't speak to that at all.
Yes, that's why I'm mentioning it, just so you know.
I appreciate it.
but yeah, I could definitely I could see that would be really cool if, you know, well, maybe I like not actually drawing, but you know, this character who normally does this thing, now their mutant ability is this thing, so they do that. So, you know, cats and dogs and whatnot, everything has changed.
Okay.
Might be nice to sort of shake things up, and especially if we start seeing a lot more cross-set play, and it's like, haha, they brought a Captain America. Oh, but it's this Captain America. It's the House of M Captain America, so he's completely different from what I'm expecting normally.
That's true, a little less predictable. Yeah. Okay, I dig it.
Okay, and our for reals last alpha runner-up is Darius Garry, who also puts in a vote for Onslaught. You get to see characters like Domino, Nate Grey, the X-Force, Dark Beast. He says as long as he's not in Age of Apocalypse. And Franklin Richards, which the son of Reed and Sue Richards, and Katie would cry if he comes before his mother. But he sort of likes to see like team play against one person aspect, which, again, that's what we were talking about with the sort of the raid aspect where you're sort of a couple people playing against the deck.
Yeah.
That fights, which I always think is sort of a cool concept. I like cooperative games. Sure. Or co-op-repetitive games.
Sure. So. Yeah, and you have a lot of games that do that out there. Actually, if you haven't checked out the Lord of the Rings LCG, it is pretty much exactly that.
Everybody fighting the Saurons.
Yeah. It's a cooperative. There are scenarios and everything else, but you are building your deck to deal with the different scenarios. It's pretty cool.
Right.
So, yeah. All right, then that leaves us with our grand prize winner, who gets all of that and more with Colossus. And everything else that was out there, too. And that winner is... Well, I'll tell you who he is afterwards. Let's look into what he says. He would like to see a set based on the original Infinity Gauntlet series. This would give the opportunity for characters like Adam Warlock, Nebula, and Thanos to be introduced to the game. And I'm all for some more characters. Also, the opportunity to build in a scenario where each of the 6 Infinity Gems could have its own action card and die. Each gem could be placed on a field of character and provide some sort of thematic boost. If you manage to have 6, shenanigans would ensue. This is a really cool idea.
And it's similar to the one... And it's similar to the one that Michael Charlton said earlier.
Yes,
that
is.
You know, the idea of that the Infinity Gems become another victory condition.
Yes. So if the guy who entered... remembers what he wrote, then he already knows that he's the one who won. But that means that our grand prize winner is Ryan. Oh, I'm going to make a joke that I'm sure he's never heard before in his life. Ryan Under Armour. And, And,
womp womp.
Yes. So, Ryan, you win. You win a lot of stuff. So, congratulations to everybody. Thank you, everybody, for your entries. It was kind of cool to see. There were a lot of common threads. A lot of people seem to really like Infinity War.
The Infinity War, which is different from Infinity.
Yeah. But a lot of people seem to like Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet, all this kind of stuff. Maximum Carnage got a few shouts. Unfortunately, nobody mentioned anything DC, so I hate you all. But
sadly, well, none of the winners did. There were several people who mentioned DC.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Evan was discriminating against you guys, and if you want to file a lawsuit, I will help you.
Completely random.
I send just hate mail to Evan at thereservepool.com. DC fans, get them. this is great, and thank you, Evan, for helping pull this together once again.
Always a pleasure.
All right, so for our feature topic this week, we are looking into kind of the evolution of the villains. Villains then and now, or how we're terming it. Looking at how things have evolved from where we started with Avengers versus X-Men and where we are now with Uncanny X-Men. And there are a lot of changes. And one thing we will not talk a whole lot about today is the arch-villain mechanism, because we actually have a whole episode that we're dedicating to that, which we'll be actually recording shortly after we finish recording this one. But in a broader scope, villains are very different this time around. They felt kind of, I don't know, in the last set, the big thing I would say here, and Evan, you can speak to this too, absolutely. In the last set, you couldn't really make a villain team because Magneto.
Yeah, and in general, it wasn't just because Magneto. They had very few, they had no cheap the only cheap option they had was Green Goblin. Exactly. Everything else was like five or six at the least. I think there may have been a couple of fours, but it was like Mystique, who was kind of hard to use. So in general, you had very few cheap options, and with AVX, it was all about those cheap, quick guys. So, you know, there weren't a lot of things you could do there. And a lot of them didn't mesh that well with each other. I mean, some did, you know. Of course, a lot of them had abilities that hurt people if they weren't using villains, which is actually a thread we're seeing continued, but refined. But there wasn't enough variety, and I sort of got the feeling that they really felt they should include these characters because a lot of them are super iconic.
Yeah, but they didn't know what to do with them once they were there.
But they didn't really have the ability to make a cohesive unit out of them. Which isn't right to say necessarily that the other factions had such cohesiveness, but they at least had more broadness to them, or at the very least, X-Men and Avengers do. We won't talk about the Fantastic Four.
The who?
The Fantastic Three, I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, that's right, thank you. No, you're absolutely right. The X-Men, I mean, large chunks of some of the winningest decks had a lot of X-Men. They weren't specifically X-Men thematic decks, but X-Men were heavy in them. You know, you had a lot of people worried about the Wolverine Knucklehead, which was an X-Men, for the early part of the expansion. You also had, you know, with Avengers, you had Nick Fury, who essentially said, hey, let's make Avengers-centric teams because Nick Fury. Right. So, yeah, those were all there. Villains didn't work cohesively, and I keep thinking back as we talk about this to the episode of Married with Clicks, where the young lady involved there, I can't remember her name, I'm so sorry guys, the young lady involved there was gonna give a villains team a shot, and the guy was doing a little more traditional, like churn based team. And she didn't have a prayer, and it wasn't her fault. There was nothing. There was very little different that she could have done. The villains just didn't have the stuff to make a cohesive whole. But
yeah, I mean, they do have stuff to make a cohesive whole, but it's a very slow cohesive whole.
Just very slow.
The AVX stuff, and that's not going to fly in a deck where that's, you know, fielding beasts and pulling dice and doing stuff and getting things out. You know, exactly. When you're okay, I can finally afford my Doctor Doom to give people minus one. Now I gotta, you know, work. Actually, in a villain deck, you might not even want to take the common Doctor Doom. You might actually want Victor because it's essentially a full board nuke.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Yeah. So. And by the time you actually get everything out and in a way that you might want it to, your health is probably at minus one and you're done anyway. So, right. Yeah, that was a problem. But not so here. Evan, you actually have a very villain-centric team that you've already wrote a little bit about on the blog.
Right,
that,
I will.
And we're not going to dig into like what makes it up, but the fact is that we have a villain team that's fast enough.
Well, and I'll actually make a caveat. I do think I really call it the Nasty Boy team, because that's what it's built around. Nasty Boy, I think, is the big enabler for villains this time, because it gives you a very easy condition to make your opponent take damage. That's when your guys get knocked out, they take damage. Or even their guys get knocked out if they're playing villains. And it synergizes with a lot of things, because we actually do have a lot of stuff that penalizes your opponent. And like we said, we don't want to get into the arch-villains too more. There's a lot of things that can penalize your opponent if they don't have villains. So using that and the Iron Man Global, which is, you know, I really think one of the trump cards, you can really punish your opponent for letting dice get knocked out. And as we all know, and especially nowadays where our only real churn option is... there are very few churn options in Uncanny X-Men. It's really just Professor X's Global. Punishing your opponent for churning is fantastic.
This is true.
But in the sense of, like, you know, okay, you can block me with that dude, but I'll spend the mask, make him a villain, and you'll take a damage.
This is true, and that's a big thing here, because how many times in the prior set were things very focused on those unfielded abilities, right? Yeah. You know, when Storm is fielded, do this. When this character is fielded, do that. If you wanted to knock some of those characters out, you wanted to do the thing with Nog and, you know, knock some of your own stuff out so you had more dice the next turn. And that's a lot harder to do now, especially if Nasty Boy is out there. So, yeah, I agree. This is Nasty Boy is the big enabler. But so many of the villains just have different kinds of interaction. And there's more interfaction interaction here, too. You know, Sentinels directly affect X-Men. So do some of the Magnetos.
And Scarlet Witch is common, which is a villain, so...
Yeah, exactly. She's
I'll get into this more when I talk about my when I write another article about my villain deck. But I think that at least her Scarlet Witch, that's really just gravy for her.
Yeah.
Because she's an outstanding die at a fairly cheap cost. So the fact that she'll especially if you're playing a villain deck, she'll just blow up most of the X-Men on the table. You know, that's just a bonus.
Yeah. Even Mystique is more useful this time around,
yes,
I would say.
Much more.
Her rare alias U, when she attacks, she gains the attack value and all assigning and attacking abilities of one opposing character. That's great. That's so much more useful than Mystique really was earlier.
Or even just her...
Her common.
Her common, which is based on how many dice you have in your prep area.
Yeah, plus one for each.
Obviously is a big thing with... Professor X's global around.
Heck yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's
or
awesome.
The uncommon, who gets a +1/+1 for every villain on the table. So, you know, that and she's nice and cheap too. So that's, I mean, I really find her great because she reminds me of her magic, sort of the Lurgoyf or one of the other, like, +1/+1 for every of these things you have. And I just mentioned the Lurgoyf because I really like that card. but
no, you're absolutely right. And actually, I got to say, thematically, I like that Mystique synergizes well with Professor X, given some of the history there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cool. But yes, in general, the evolution that we've seen with villains is, well, one, a definite change, just as we have seen in the whole game, a big change in the cost curve, right? I mean, you have some very useful villains now that don't cost quite as much, and thanks to Professor X, we also have ways of getting things that cost a little more in our hands a little faster.
Right. I mean, I think what really does it is that you have... It's great that a lot of them have really neat abilities. Honestly, I think that the AVX villains didn't have terrible abilities. There were a lot that had, you know, okay ones... But I didn't think there were that many, you know, true standouts. And we definitely have some standout guys in Uncanny X-Men. Anyway, I don't even need to talk about Nasty Boy anymore.
Oh, absolutely. Nasty Boy, I think Mystique has some standout abilities. Yeah. I like Toad.
Pyro is fantastic.
Absolutely.
All his forms, pretty much.
Absolutely. Well, that global is just is wonderful. I love it. There's a lot more happening.
Yeah, there's really just a lot more breadth. I mean, and that comes from it being, as opposed to, you know, there were five or six villain characters, and they were all sort of focused on one little thing. Here, we've got a lot of characters who maybe have one villain form, and in general, just a bunch of villains. So we got a lot more options, and I think it really helps to, you know, flesh out the team. That said, I also don't think they were completely unsupported. Like I said, bizarrely, the guy who seems to be all about punishing villains this time, Iron Man, is probably a Villindex best friend.
Right.
And I really do think they still need... I'll say this. I think overall, costs are a little... In general, the lack of cheap churn makes things be a little slower, so you really want that Professor X to speed things up, so that's already two non-villains, but... And there are no two-cost villains, I believe. So if you do want a two-cost character, you're going to have to pull an Ariel or a... Ariel? Whatever. Or, you know, the cheap Falcon or whatever to get them in. So...
And I will say that where they were smart with this was that the there isn't like a super cheap Bolt character, which considering the abilities that Mr. Sinister and Pyro have are very good. Obviously, the no ability Bolt character is actually Iceman, who costs 4. Yes. So it's not going to be quite so easy to fuel those Bolts, which was a very smart play. It's a very subtle move, but a very important one, I think. I think that if this were the first set, the way that AVX was, they wouldn't have thought to make.
And you actually see there was a change in the sort of the profiles of characters or energies. Mask is actually the cheapest set, the cheapest suit by at this point by quite a lot. I think Fist is the second now. Bolt is still third. Shield always seems to be the domain of the big, heavy, bruisery guys.
This is true.
But Bolt was definitely one of the cheaper ones in AVX, and we've actually seen that diversify quite a bit.
Yeah, I just realized that I mentioned it actually in the starter set thing, but something about it just jogged my memory. They only included two villains in the starter box. That would be Juggernaut and Magneto. Yes. Obviously, there's the Quicksilver that's the villain, which is what just caught my eye now. I thought, oh my gosh, was I wrong? I was going to say, I just realized I was wrong.
No, but that's the uncommon.
Exactly. They only included two of those villains in the starter set, which is interesting to me, but it also tells me that because each of them have Archvillain on them, which again, we'll talk about next week, it wouldn't be fair for, like, if you're going to split up the starter set and play with that, like, I like what the starter set, you can play 4 characters on 4 characters and have all their dice there, and then use like 2 or 3 basic actions depending on how you want to do, instead of like the full each player brings right. two
play
of
the
them.
Basic game basically.
Yeah, I really that's the real basic game, and that's not actually suggested anywhere in there. I just it's better, but anyway, there's only 2 of those, so if you're going to split that up, one person has to have Magneto, the other person has to have Juggernaut. I mean it's just not fair otherwise.
Yeah, so I think that's better than AVX, where I believe there are no villains in the starter set.
That's true, but AVX didn't have a mechanism that punished you for not having villains.
Aside from Doctor Doom.
Aside from Doctor Doom. That's very true, very true. So that's kind of an overall look at what's been happening with the villains. The changeover in the factions and the split factions among cards has really given us a lot more options with characters. We have more options with cost, and we have more options with abilities now too, and that's all great stuff to see.
Right, and I just like that. Really, in AVX, I think part of it was also there was some synergy, but it was also mostly through Doom and characters who were just like, you know, I make villains better, which of course was hurt by Magneto pretty much nerfing all the villains. But here we have a lot of abilities that work pretty nicely together. Apocalypse and Mr. Sinister, which makes a lot of sense. You know, Pyro with several other cards. There are a lot of Bolt villains.
Right. Well, here's my question for you, Evan, especially with the team that you've put together. Obviously, anybody who's going to be playing across multiple sets, Magneto is still out there as an adversary. How do you deal with that? Or do you just figure, well, if they're really spending their energy re-rolling all of my villains, they can't possibly have enough energy to do anything else because I have so many villains.
Well, there's that. Though they're going to go for your nasty boys. They're mad if they don't go for your Nasty Boys. And I mean, I could see people playing villain decks that don't run Nasty Boy. I'm not sure why, but I think it'd be because I think it's just such an I don't mean that insultingly. I say that in the sense of it's like, you know, mayonnaise for a really dry sandwich. It's just like there's potential there, and you might like it anyway, but it just makes it just adds so much to it that it doesn't make a lot of sense not to like bring it. Him. But you know, I think the best option if you're playing multi set and you're really worried about Magneto is the uncommon Scarlet Witch, who, if I'm remembering right, I don't remember if it's she prevents your opponent from rerolling during their setup phase, or if you can force them to reroll particular dice, or it's one of the two. Well, but in general,
this is what it is. It's her rare.
Her rare. I'm sorry. Super, yeah, I forgot. Okay. She doesn't have an uncommon.
On the turn after Scarlet Witch is fielded, you may make your opponent reroll one die from his initial roll before he rerolls his dice.
Right. And I think she's a little pricey. She's a 4?
3.
A 3. Okay, never mind then. But in any event, I think she is probably your best option for messing with people who bring Magneto, or old Magneto.
Interesting.
Because because you'll do that, they'll roll masks, and you'll say, reroll that mask.
Okay.
That's, but then obviously, I mean, that's before... is your best chance to prevent them from being able to reroll your characters.
That's true.
Prevent having mask energy.
That is your only shot. I guess she could be particularly devastating if you combined her with the AVX Professor X, who prevented the reroll unless your opponent paid life.
Right.
That could be fun, actually.
I think if you're really going to try to protect yourself from that, and to a degree, I think it's a little bit like, you know, trying to hold back the ocean, but you know, you're just going to have to sort of deal with it. And the bright side is that you do have a decent base to go on, and if you're playing in all sets, you can include Victor, who is essentially a full board nuke on your opponent's side, most likely, or very close to full board nuke. So, you know. You can drop Victor. Your opponent can't do much about them because the effect has already happened once they're fielded. And then you can sort of go to town on them.
That's true. And I think in general, this is why, and I've been saying this all along, but this is why we will see the OP events set restricted. I myself have expressed preference for what we have here in this set versus AVX. I like these characters. And frankly, a lot of the best characters of AVX were heavily neutered by what you have in this set.
That said, I think you also have much more of an argument for bringing Mjolnir.
That's fair too. You sure do.
I don't really think there's a great I think that really comes down to the big question of if Mjolnir hits and all villains on your team get knocked out, including Nasty Boy, how many Nasty Boy procs do you get? Is it 0? Is it everybody but Nasty Boy himself? Is it everybody? You know, I'm not really sure.
That's a great question.
The timing isn't quite clear, so that is my fact talk.
And I don't know, but I would love to find out. And tell us your thoughts on that one. And in general, tell us your thoughts. This has been a great episode. Always happy when we can give some contest stuff to people. Maybe it's less exciting to listen to that part if you didn't win, but I think everybody contributed a lot of great ideas. And then as far as the villains go, I mean, they're a big factor in this set, and I think in the best way. I'm so much more excited by the villains that we have here.
Yeah, general, I mean, so. I probably would have worked with something X-Men-ish if not for the villains, but as soon as the general thread of, man, all this stuff works together, I was just, and that's my team.
Yep. So, thank you so much for listening this week to this episode. We will be back again next week with the episode that we're going to record in probably about 10 minutes after we stop recording this one. We're going to talk with you about the arch villains specifically, the brand new mechanism in this game. Thank you to everybody who entered. If you have not left us a review on iTunes, please do that. We would like to give you some props. Actually, the guy The guys behind Dice Masters Anonymous, Dice Anon, left us a very, very nice review there not too long ago. And I didn't know that. I want to give them a shout out. I didn't know that we were a little bit of an inspiration for them getting started. At that point, he only knew about the podcast. He didn't know we had a blog. So he wanted to cover territory that we weren't. But competition is fun, and they do a great job over there. So yes, check them out if you haven't.
And I thank them again for getting us that full card list so I could actually go and do my numbers article.
Absolutely. And they've shared some artwork with us that they had that we didn't at that point. They shared some lists with us. Just, you know, they're the kind of people you want as a part of the community. They're willing to share. So, yep. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you again in the week for myself and for Evan. We'll see you soon.
Yep. See you guys.